John.
No,
he thinks it's okay, here we go. All right. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. The Gemara asked the following. We finished the last sugya, and we left it. We left it as the final psak halacha that it takes 3 days for the animal to be a muad, and not three times. And it takes, and for it to go off being a muad, if children play with it, doesn't gore, it no longer is a muad. Now we're going to look into another aspect of the 3 days. Exactly why do we need the 3 days? The Torah says we have to have 3 days, but why do we need the 3 days? Iboilaho, the Gemara makes the following shaila. Shlosha yamim dikitani. The 3 days that the Mishnah, as Rabbi Yehuda mentioned, and as we pask, and we need 3 days. What is the purpose of those 3 days, and three gorings on 3 days? Is it, number one, li yeudei tura? Is it to make the ox a muad? O li yeudei gavra? Or is it to make the person who owns the ox a muad? What in the world is the Gemara asking over here? So we'll see, the Mir is going to explain, but there's, you know, there are 2 points to an animal being a muad. The Torah tells us the animal gores, and the owner is brought to Bezdin, and the Bezdin warns the owner, you know, you've got an ox who's gored once, this time we'll let you off and you only pay half. Each time, you know, you got to take the owner to the court, and in a court he must be warned that the animal gored once, twice, three times. So there's 2 aspects here. There's the animal goring and the owner being brought into the court. So now, what is the real factor that we're reckoning with over here? So now, the Me'iri, the note springs very nicely from the Me'iri, the 2 sides of the coin. Is it for the purpose to make the oxen wood? And that's the simple understanding we've been going with all along. It takes 3 gorings on 3 days to establish the ox's destructive nature as a gorer. Once that nature's established, the owner is responsible immediately. Okay, now, he says, theoretically, if the ox's nature as a gorer could be established by the first incident, which it's not. But if, let's say, he would be considered a gorer after 1 incident, then he'll be responsible after the first incident. But it isn't that way. But the ox's nature is not established by the first incident. Rather, the Torah requires 3 incidents on 3 days to establish that nature. So as far as the owner is concerned, however, he need be informed of his ox's established destructive nature only once. You're saying, what's the difference? You'll see in a minute. In other words, there's 2 parts here. There's the nature of the ox and the owner's knowledge of the nature of the ox. There's 2 points over here. So the first side is saying, listen, we just need 3 days to know one thing, that the nature of the ox has changed, and that now he's not a docile ox anymore. He is a destructive ox. And how do you know that? Because 3 days in a row, and when he sees 3 sheep, whatever, he goes nuts and he gores them. But in terms of the owner doesn't need 3 warnings. As long as the owner is told once, your animal has changed. That's all he needs to know. One time, the owner has to know that. If theoretically, an ox could be a muad after 1 time, it's not, but theoretically, then once we tell the owner that, that's enough. The owner does not have to have 3, technically, for the owner's sake, you know, 3 times to be told about it. If the owner is told once, your animal is a goring ox, that's not the issue. So what do we need 3 for? We need 3 for the animal. The animal has to gore 3 times. It must be proven in a court 3 times he's gored. Now we know his nature has changed after 3 days 3 times. That's one way of looking at it. Now, you'll better understand this when you hear the other side of the coin. Li yudei gavra, to make a person a muad. It might be, let's say, that the ox's destructive nature as a gore is established maybe by the very first incident. Maybe after 1 time. I mean, what we were telling you up till now, we were assuming the first side, but let's try to look at the other side. Maybe once an ox gores once already, that's enough. He's changed his nature. So now why do we need 3 times? Nevertheless, the Torah was lenient with the owner and did not make him liable to full damages until he is warned 3 times. It's more of an issue of the person being warned three times, not as much as the owner.
What difference?
Let's keep reading. Rav Shlomo Kluger, however, asserts that the 3 days are certainly needed to, in order to establish the ox as a muad. The question whether that is the sole purpose of the 3 days, whether they all are also needed in order to make the owner a muad. So one of the later rabbis says it's not going to be an end-to-end argument, but he's suggesting, of course you need the 3 days to establish that the ox is the muad, because we don't say his nature changes after one. But we also need the owner being told three times about it. Now let's read on and you'll see what this means. Making the person a muad means that the warnings must be given to the owner on three separate days in order to habituate him to the knowledge that his ox is a gorer. Only after he's accustomed to that notion that his Torah imposed full damage on him. Let me give you a mashal. When they started to do the recycling in Vaughan, right? They didn't do it in one shot. In one shot, you've got to recycle this. And remember, I don't remember what started. It used to be just throw out the garbage, right? Now already they've trained us. We've got green, we've got blue every other week. We've got all these things. If you recall in the beginning, that if they would make us all do that one day, all of a sudden from no recycling to complete recycling, I was going to yell and scream. I'm not used to it. I can't do it. I'm going to forget about this, right? So they did it very slowly. I remember reading about like 6 years ago when it started. First, we're going to just start with this one thing. Just put things in a blue. Once you get used to the blue, and then, you know, we're going to start with another thing, and then we'll do unlimited amount. Then we limit it to only 3 bags. It's in the first year. If you needed more, we would give you more for free.
I think it was first. It was
whatever. It's not important.
More bags, and then it was less bags.
Yeah, and less whatever. It was slowly to get us used to the idea, because it's unreasonable to assume that people who aren't doing any recycling in one day, you make them recycle. You got to get them used to the idea. So you have an ox, and the ox, you never had to watch the ox. He was fine. All of a sudden, ox scores one day. Oh, listen, man, now you got to watch. Wait a minute, I got to have to buy a better barn. I got to do this. I got to start thinking. I get my mindset. Oh, I used to always leave the bull, let him go around. And now I have to remember. So in one day, he's going to remember and keep a constant guard from this and that. It's too much. So even if theoretically the bull could be a muad in one shot, but I'm not ready to watch him because I never had to begin with.
That's right.
You have to remember, it's not like, well, you always have to, no. Normally a bull doesn't gore. And I've had bulls on my farm for years and they never gore. And my whole farm lifestyle has been based on me not having to worry about the bull. All of a sudden you tell me I gotta worry about the bull and I gotta change everything and tomorrow if he's gonna gore, I'm gonna be high for all full damages. That's not reasonable. You gotta give me time to get used to it. So you take me to court once, you take me to court twice, you take me to court a third time. It's been time for me to become a muad and me be responsible to watch the animal. That's the interpretation of Tosfos. So there's two aspects here. We have to change the nature of the animal. It has to be clearly known that it's changed. And according to Rav Kluger, maybe even everybody agrees you need it for that point. But to make the owner go from half to full payment, the owner has to be acclimated to the fact that he has a muad bull. That's what it means to make the person a muad. So when he's gone to a court 3 times, then by now we said, listen, we've already told you 3 times. You should have gotten used to it. You should get used to the fact that you have to watch that bull better. Okay. Alternatively, making the person muad means that the owner is muad to ignore the warnings to guard his animal. That's like the other side of the coin. Okay, we warned you once. Okay, maybe don't take it so seriously. But after 3 warnings, you know, this is a serious thing. According to this latter understanding, the witnesses to each incident would have to inform the owner about it before the incident occurs, before the next incident occurs. Only then does the next goring counsel the owner's ignoring of the warnings, as we'll see shortly. Okay, so that is the shaila. The fact that an animal has to gore on 3 days. What's the logic behind what Torah says? So clearly we have to establish that the animal is a muad. From Rav Kluger it appears, that seems to be agreed. That's one reason, and we can't really debate that. Until you know the animal's nature has changed, how can you say there's a muad over there? So we'd assume that even the second side of the coin would agree that first side must exist. question is, there a second aspect that exists of the owner being a muad, which means that he's become acclimated to the fact that he has an animal that is a muad, and that he is disregarding warnings of a bezdin after three warnings to show that he doesn't really care, and he hasn't tried to acclimate him. What?
Acclimatize.
Okay. Oh. It's both. They're synonymous.
What I say acclimated. I think acclimated is also.
Claimed is something else.
Not acclaimed. Acclimated.
Acclimate.
Okay, we could check the English later.
To acclimate
the person. Now, where do you think would be the difference? So that's a wonderful shayla, but shayla only matters if there's a difference in halacha. How would it come out a difference in halacha? That's Gemara's next question. Gemara asks, Lamai nafkin, what does it matter? It's going to be 3 days. It's going to be worn 3 times. One will ever make a difference. Now, this will be the difference. Beautiful case. What happens if the following? The asa talse kitesadi, 3 different pairs of witnesses come. They saw 3 different gorings, but they all came to the court on Bechadya on one day. Let's say the ox gored and killed an animal on Sunday, and there were witnesses. But the witnesses, for whatever reason, they were busy. They couldn't come to court yet. For whatever reason, they were just going out of town for a simcha. They saw the goring and then took the train to go to a simcha. They're not coming back for 2 days. Then on Monday, the animal gored a second time in front of 2 different witnesses who had to go to a simcha that was a shorter distance away, only 1 day away. And then on Tuesday, the animal gored a 3rd time. And these witnesses saw it. And now the other 2 pairs have come back. Now in one shot, all 3 pairs come to the Besdin, and in 1 time say, this one testified he gored on Sunday, the other one testified he gored on Monday, the other one said he gored on Tuesday, and there were 3, and it did indeed happen, it was 3 days one after the other, but the owner only hears about it once.
That's right.
So in terms of taking care of the fact that we know the animal's nature has changed, that's clear, because it was 3 days, 3 sets of witnesses, his nature has changed. But the owner wakes up on a Tuesday for the first time, and let's say the owner doesn't know his animal gored. He doesn't know what's going on when the animal's out in the fields. He doesn't know. At the end of the day, he comes back. He says, Bessie, everything fine? Moo. Yeah, fine. Go ahead. Right? So, but then, all of a sudden, on Tuesday, the court summons him in. What happened? You have to go, oh, he did, really? All of a sudden, he's confronted with 3 sets of witnesses. I know what's going on for the last 3 days. You better watch your animal better. What's the first time hearing of it? Ah. Now you can understand what's going on over here. So, if the only issue is to change the nature of the animal, then it becomes a muad because we have 3 witnesses for that. Right? Now, it's lots of notes here. I don't know if I want to do all that. Now, on the other hand, the Amrit Liude Gavra, but if it's the point to make the owner a muad, then lo miayid. It hasn't been 3 days. It's only been 1 time, and there's no point. And now what is the guy going to say? He's going to say, wait a minute. Meimar Amr, the owner can surely make this claim. Hashtahu de kamasadabi. It's only now you guys are testifying against me. And now's the first time I'm hearing this, right? So since he's received all 3 warnings on the same day, he's not sufficiently accustomed to the knowledge that his ox is a gore. Rather, he must be warned on 3 separate days. Alternatively, according to one of the earlier pshatim, he's not liable in this case because he has not become muad to ignore the warnings. Remember, some of these 2 understandings? Either he's acclimated or acclimatized, whatever, to it, or he's ignored their warnings. Either way, he hasn't ignored anything. He's not got used to the fact that it's there. So that would be the difference if the owner finds out about all 3 gorings on 1 day. Does the animal now, even though the animal per se, its nature has changed, but is the owner's responsibility changed because he's only heard it once? And that would be a wonderful difference between them. Clear. So we understand the two aspects and the differences between them. Got to get this really clear, because now we're going to come to a brisa. The brisa is not hard, but the question that's going to come out of the brisa is going to be a little challenging. You know, the Seed Boys called me last night, and they want to start learning on Mondays. They want to know where to start from. So they called me a week ago. I said, I don't know, around on this spot. I wasn't sure. A week ago, I didn't know how long it was. Yeah. So they called me last night and said, you know, we've prepared this morning. This is very hard, Gemara. You sure you want to start there? Maybe we'll start from the next Mishnah. I said, it's fine, I'm already up to it. Don't have to worry about it. Anyway, because you'll see it, it's going to get a little tricky now. I mean, I think they were looking at the Gemara we did yesterday also, which was very hard, if you recall. Anyway, so now we're going to bring a brisa. It's a long brisa. It's not too hard, but the implication is going to come out to bring a proof to this Shiloh over here. We have to prove the Shiloh. So now we're going to have a brisa that needs thorough understanding. So this is the Shiloh. What's the answer to a Shiloh? Is it just enough for the animal, or the owner has to have three separate warnings? Mora brings now a brisa. Toshma, come in here. The following brisa. Lots of halachas. Four halachas coming in this brisa. Number one. Ein hashor nasa muad. Hashor does not become a muad until the following has happened. Number one. Ad sheyudu bo bifnei balim. Number one, it has to be testified in the presence of the owner. In the owner's presence, he has to know about it. And number two, bifnei bezdin, and before a court of law. You have to have both. In front of the owner and a court of bezdin. That's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, v'hu ad biv all love, and was testified against the ox's owner. Now, testimony, by definition, means in front of a court. And it's not enough in front of the court. You have bivalov, with the owner being there in the court present. So that's what it says. You have to have both. Now, what if you only have one and not the other? So what if, heidu bo bifnei bezdin? Let's say we went into the bezdin, but shlovivam, we didn't bring the owner there. The witnesses came to bezdin and testified that the ox court, but the owner wasn't there. Or the opposite. Let's say the people went to the owner, bifnei balim. They go in front of the owner and tell him all about that. Ushalo bifnei bezdin, but not in front of the bezdin. Well, no. Eina nasa muad, it doesn't become a muad. Now, it still seems a little bit repetitive now. Achiyidu bifnei bezdin, bifnei balim, until it's testified before the bezdin and the owner. Now, that last clause seems to be repeating what was the first clause. Yeah. The first clause already says it doesn't become a muad until it's testified before the owner and the bezdin. So why is it not, is it repetitive? So the commentaries notice that. The Bryce repeats this formulation to emphasize that the testimony may not be taken in the absence of the ox's owner under any circumstances. You see, in other halachas, sometimes the person who's being litigated against need not be present. There's certain exceptions to the rule. But here we're saying there's absolutely no exceptions to this rule, and if he's not there, he ain't going to be a muad. Finished. So fine. So that's rule number one. That's pretty straightforward. That's not the area that's going to give us problems. Now we're moving on to the next scenario. What if the following? Heidu shnayim berishona, ushnayim bishniya, ushnayim bishlishis. You have two witnesses testified him for the first occurrence at the animal court. Now the Bryce is not telling us how often it happened. It's not telling us, it's not being clear. We can assume what we want. It's not going to say 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, maybe it's all 1 day. We don't know. But two pairs testified about the first goring. Two pairs testified about the second goring. And two pairs testified about the third goring. Okay? Now, what happens? You have different pairs. So therefore, hare, kan, shalosh, eduyos. Now on the one hand, there are three. They can combine. You have three testimonies here. And that's good enough to make the animal a muad. Because each one is its own testimony. Now, what does he mean to say is, now what's going to come into play in a moment is the whole new area of Edim Zomamim, which are false witnesses. Let's refresh our memory about false witnesses. If two witnesses come into a court and say, the Chaim Yankel killed Shmero, and we think they're telling the truth, and the Bezdin renders a decision, the Chaim Yankel is to be killed. He's not yet been killed, but he is to be killed. And then two other witnesses walk in, and the last one says, you can't believe these two guys. They were out of town with us somewhere else. They know, not that they're saying, we testify the guy didn't kill him. We're saying these guys could not testify. They were not in town. That's called hazama. Hazama means that we're reproving these witnesses were liars from the beginning. The law is we give those witnesses the punishment that they wanted to give to the other person. And therefore, those two witnesses would be killed. Whatever punishment you want to give, that's only, again, only if your testimony was accepted. The Bezdin rendered the judgment based on what you said, and we're going to go through it, but we're stopped in the last minute because other witnesses proved them to be liars. I don't want to get into any more details, but that's all you need to know. But that's called hazama. So let's say over here, let's say two witnesses wanted to make trouble for a guy. Two witnesses come on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And they just happen to notice, let's say they don't like this guy. They don't like this guy. They want to get him in trouble. So the guy's got a nice little ox. And they say, you know what? We're going to make him trouble and tell everybody he's got an ox that's a muad. So they see one animal carcass just lying somewhere. And they don't know who did it. They come to the car and say, no, we saw Chaim Yankel's ox gore it. So why? But they said on Sunday. They did it again on Monday and did it again on Tuesday. Did it three times. And now Bess is about to say, okay, you know, Chaim Yankel, you got to be careful. Next time you're going to pay full amounts. Ah, now we got him good. Now he's got to always worry. He's got to pay full amount. Then let's say another set of witnesses said, you know, you guys are a bunch of liars. You were at a convention with us out of town for the last 3 days. You didn't see what's going on. You couldn't have seen what's going on. What would now be? Now, if the animal would have gored a fourth time and would have had to pay full damages, who pays the full damages? The lying witnesses. We punish them to what they want to give this guy. Now, maybe half he'd have to pay, because he'd always have to pay half. But in other words, we would punish them to the degree that they wanted to make the guy suffer incorrectly, which would be paying the full payment. That extra half payment they would have to pay. That's assuming that one set of witnesses, I'm looking at a simple case now, one set of witnesses lied three times to make him, or maybe it could maybe even be the third one. Let's say there were two who was honesty did, but and then the third one came and lied and changes him to a muad. But I just want to say this, a concept, this idea of hazama could apply over here, where they unjustly are lying and saying that the ox is a muad when it indeed is not a muad, and then it's issue. Now the question is going to be, and that's what we have to relate to, how do we deal with these three different sets of witnesses in regards to will they enable them would, and how do they fit into the idea of hazama? That's what we're going to explain in a second. Yeah?
But if they were lying, then in reality, the fourth pro-goring,
so, yes,
there's no full payment required.
Yes, but they would have to pay full, because that's what they wanted to make him pay.
Incrementally.
But I understand you have to pay.
In other words, let us say, after the three lies, now the animal for the first time in its life gored. Now Bezin thinks it's the fourth.
Right.
Would have thought it's the fourth. So really it was the first. So what would happen? We make the owner pay half.
Yeah.
And not even half. Because remember, it's only to the value of the animal that gores. Right. It could be a quarter. It could be a fifth. Yeah. Right? But had they not been proven liars, the owner would have to pay full. Right?
If the fourth time.
Full. So the Zoman paid the difference between what the owner would have had to pay, and let's say he gored now, for, so if he would have paid only half, now they have to pay the other half. I don't see your question.
But the question is that because they lied, then the animal is not a muad, so there is no full payment required regardless.
Normally so. Let's go back to the case of Azama. The guy really didn't kill anybody, but they lied. So really no one's supposed to get killed anyway. That's the chiddush of Azama. Once we prove these witnesses lied and he doesn't get killed, why should we kill anybody? But that's what you wanted to do to the other guy, that's exactly what we do to you. You wanted him to pay wrongly a full damage on the fourth thing. You're right. It shouldn't be. But that's the whole chiddush of Azama. We make the witnesses suffer that way, so there's skin in the game that they're not gonna lie.
The guy who was gored, he ends up getting more than he would normally have got.
Yeah.
He's getting the witnesses paid.
And we'll find this in other aspects as well. What if we lie? What if we lie about somebody stole? You know, and he didn't steal. You gotta pay. You gotta pay somebody, right? So there, the question of who and where they're paying, that could be a different aspect. Who's, you know, where it's gonna go, we could discuss. Maybe it should go to the guy they were lying against. But they gotta end up paying money. That's what's clear. You're right, it shouldn't be, but that's part of what the punishment is. So now we have three separate pairs of witnesses. They came on three separate days, each one testifying. So we say on the one hand, Harei kan shalosh eduyos. We have three testimonies, and we'll see the next clause in a minute. So what does that mean? So let's see the notes. Whoa. All three combined to make the animal muad. That's number one. It doesn't have to be one pair of witnesses for three times.
Events.
Three separate testimonies.
That's good enough.
And each is a distinct testimony, listen carefully, in that the validity of one is not linked to the validity of the other.
They're independent.
What do we mean? In other words, let's say one pair of witnesses are liars and the other one isn't.
That's right.
Now, normally what happens, normally let's say four witnesses come together about something and we prove that two are liars. What happens? We throw out the whole gang of them. They all get thrown out. Right. Even though the other two.
Right.
So now we're going to say, well, what if you have three separate pairs and only one pair is proved to be Zomim? What happens to the other two pairs? On the one hand, we have to link them because without all three testimonies, it doesn't become a Mu'ad. Mm-hmm. But so all of them are kind of interconnected. So what happens? We knock out one pair. What happens to the validity of the other two pairs? So we're going to say in a word, they're linked and they're not linked. They're linked that all three separately combine to make it a Mu'ad, but they're not linked to the extent that if any one group is discredited, it does not discredit the other pairs. That's the long and the short of what's going to come out of everything we're going to read right now. Okay? Thus, if one of the testimony is discredited through Hazama, then to remain intact in regard to obligating the owner to have damages for the two incidents about which they testify. Right? And therefore, if another group would come, we could go with the two that were still good
right.
to add to the third one.
Right.
That's what he's saying. He's saying we have three testimonies on the one hand, but wait. Vehein edus achas lahazama. But they are one testimony as regarding the hazama penalty. Meaning the Torah commands that the Zomimim be punished with the very consequences they sought to impose on the victim of their plot with their false testimony. However, one of the rules of Zomimim witnesses is that all who testify together must be shown to be Zomimim before the reciprocal penalty for Hazama can be applied to any of them. In other words, you have a bunch of witnesses, you've got to prove they're all liars before you can punish any of them. That's one of the rules. If two are proved Zomim, if some are shown to be Zomim, but not all of them, doesn't go. Again, all who testify together must be shown to be Zomimim, to have them. Let's say four guys walk in at the same time to testify. We don't need four, but you have four. They all walk in, that's why this guy killed him. Another group says, no, you two are liars. You weren't here. The other two, we don't know. You don't kill those. Punishable suit, you only apply Hazama until everybody's been discredited. That's a rule. You like it or not, that's one of the rules. That's one of the rules. They all have to be discredited. In our case, therefore, since all three testimonies are needed in order to make the ox a Mu'ad, they are deemed to be one large testimony in that the Hazama penalty for Mu'ad cannot be imposed on any of the three groups unless all three are proven Zomimim and the price will ever. So it comes out, we're combining, in the one hand, we're saying that they are three separate testimonies. On the other hand, they're like one testimony. In other words, they're like three testimonies that if any one group is discredited, so the other two sets are still alive. And if a fourth one would come, it would combine with those because there was nothing discredited about them. So they don't get discredited. That's like three separate. On the other hand, they're like one that if you want to punish the first group for being liars, they cannot be punished until all six witnesses have been discredited. Now the whole lot's been discredited. Then it can all be punished. All right? Did I just jump
back? Then false witnesses will never be punished if they're alone. There's only one.
There's not three. One witness?
One.
One group? What are you
one
talking
group.
About?
One group of
two guys? Well, it didn't make him pay full yet. Let's say they prove their lies. So what did the guy do? They only would pay half anyway. Let's say two guys come in and
so
say
they won't pay anything.
No, they pay the half. They lied. The animal did not gore.
But we just said it.
But no. There's two issues here. You want to make the guy pay half. Number one, he's got to pay half.
Right.
They come in on Sunday. The animal gored, you have to pay half.
Right.
That's lie number one. It's going to be added up to two more. They'll eventually make the guy pay full. So there's two parts of the lying. There's the half he pays on Sunday, which never happened. And there's the full he's going to pay on Wednesday if it gores the fourth time.
Right.
There's two parts to the Hazama. Right? It's two separate things. In other words, when two guys testify on Sunday that the animal gored and he didn't, two realities are happening. Number one, the guy's got to pay half right now, right here, right now. Number two, if two more witness sets come in the next 2 days, the guy now becomes a mu'ad, which he shouldn't because you lied. He never was.
Right.
So there's two ramifications of the lying. So let's say the first two guys lie, and we don't know about a second and third pair yet. And we prove the first guy liars, they're still zomim insofar as they want the guy to pay half on Sunday. So we'd make them pay half on Sunday. So they still get punished for that. But now the point being, what about if on Wednesday the animal gores a fourth time and they would have wanted him to pay the full? Well, and now we prove that the guys on Sundays were liars. They will not pay for that because alone they didn't do anything yet. You have to discredit all three pairs. Only after all three pairs are discredited, then we punish them all. So that's the interesting halacha. That on the one hand, if one group gets knocked out, the other two groups are still viable that another group could add to them. Right. But the one group that got knocked out does not get punished for the hazama that for it to be a muad because the other two groups were not yet made into zomimim. Yeah. So that's where they're connected and they're not connected. So let's just finish this last point. Now just elaborate. So I jumped it a little bit. So now let's see what happens now. So let's say, so how come up Lamaisa? Nimtzas kas rishonos zomim. Let's say we only made the first group out to liars. Well, harei kan shtei edius. There's still two testimonies left to go that could be used in the future. What about the first group? And the first group, for who pater? First of all, who pater? The owner of the ox is pater because he never did gore. They ain't pater, but they're not liable for the full damages that could come up 3 days later because we don't have any. Because the other two weren't knocked out. Yes, they'd have to pay the half because they lied on that.
Yeah.
But the animal gores on the fourth day, they wouldn't have to pay because the other two weren't discredited.
Okay.
Now, Nim says, Kash Shnia Zomemes, what if now after the first, the second group gets zomified? Well, we still have one more that's still viable. Arei Kan Edus Achas. You have one testimony left that could connect to two future ones. What about the first two pairs and the owner? Vahu Potter, the owner's Potter. He doesn't pay any full damages. Vahepater, I mean, those first two groups don't pay the full damages.
Yeah.
But what if Nimtzes Kash Lishi Zomemes? What if all three get zomified? Now, all of a sudden, Kulan Chayovim, they all have to pay for the full damages that could have happened from the fourth one.
Yeah.
Why? Well, Zen Amar, to this we say that we apply the rules of the Torah, Vasisam Lo Kesher Zomam, we do to them as they plan, because now we've zomified, that's my verb, zomified all three pairs, and as the entire group is zomified, and they wanted to make it, and then they pay full. Now, how is this going to relate to our... that's a good question. That's a good question. I'm not sure. We'd have to figure out, because I don't know. Maybe they share it. I don't know.
Each should pay for
it. I don't know. I have to think about it. I'm not sure.
Each pair? Or each
how much they all pay? I'm not sure.
No, but then
divided in six? Divided in two? I don't know.
That's
a good question.